Good morning. You're watching the program with Ted Rall and Jamal Thomas. It is Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. Thank you so much for joining us. Please like, follow, and share the show. If you are so inclined and you're watching in the 9 o'clock a.m. on the East Coast hour live, please go ahead and put your questions and comments in the chats on Rumble and YouTube. Especially appreciative of your super chats and your Rumble rants. And producer Robbie West will put those up. Today we'll be mainly talking about some topics that are near and dear to JT and myself, foreign policy and war and peace. New study shows that there are currently more wars going on the planet than at any previous time since the end of World War II. 65 current nation-on-nation conflicts. Kind of insane. There's only like 211 countries. So it's like basically if there's 65 conflicts, it means half of the world is fighting each other. And also there's more deaths occurring from warfare than at any time since the end of World War II. Also, Trump again says that he's ever so near a deal with Iran, ever so near, 2 or 3 days. And our lead story, that very strange story, Trump is going to denaturalize 17 American citizens. Something that, you know, the last time it happened en masse was in Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany and Nazi-occupied Europe, which was used as a way to deport Jews to their deaths at death camps. So, yeah, where should we start?
I kind of want to start with the World Cup, if I'm being honest.
Let's go, World Cup. Let's do it.
I cover politics all over the world. And in having these conversations, oftentimes people from either China or somewhere will say, hey, the U.S. should get its house in order before these effing Americans are telling us what we should or shouldn't do. And I say to them, hey, you're right. And I would use this kind of Hitlerian thing of, yeah, but if we were in Nazi Germany and we dissented, what would that dissent matter? We'd get arrested, prosecuted, and it took the external world in order to get involved in regards to basically destroying Nazi Germany in regards to ways of behaving. I think in similar ways about the US, maybe not necessarily the destruction, but definitely from the standpoint of the rest of the world. And you have a World Cup in the middle of the US waging wars of aggression against Iran, waging wars of aggression against Venezuela, going after Cuba, meaning we have been creating all sorts of havoc around the world in addition to paying and funding a genocide, not to mention fusing our military with the country committing that genocide. Why the F are any of these countries coming to the United States for the World Cup? And when the U.S. humiliates one country after the next, having them doing metal and, you know, like checking them with metal detectors, meaning players, like I'm scanning them like they're drug mules, coming into the country, humiliating one country after the next, disallowing people from certain African countries, like from Senegal, who they didn't necessarily allow to participate. And he was a referee of all people. And we're doing this in this kind of most racist way that you could think of doing it. And I think to myself, well, you shouldn't have came. Like, meaning none of these countries should have came to the U.S. for the World Cup. I don't care how important they believe the World Cup is. Obviously, the behavior of, if this was Nazi Germany holding the World Cup, would countries have come? And I come to the conclusion, probably yes.
And well, we know because the Nazis sponsored the Olympic. They hosted the Summer Olympics in 1936.
Yes.
And the Jesse whole Owens. World came, including the United States.
Jesse Owens. That was the Jesse Owens one.
That's right.
Mistaken, right? Or correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's right. Jesse Owens one.
Yeah, that was the Jesse Owens one. I guess I'm saying all of those countries should have boycotted the U.S. Mind you, if I remember correctly, FIFA didn't allow Russia to participate because Russia started, quote unquote, the war in Ukraine. Okay, what the F is this? Like, this seems to be outrageous to me that these countries, A, decided to come. Look, I get U.S. behavior. But racist countries are going to behave in racist ways, especially when you have a president at the head of it that has no compunction about getting across. We hate the rest of the world. We don't want you, especially if you're coming from African countries, coming into the United States for any particular reason. even provoking the Iranian, like even that part is mind blowing. Iran, apparently, their team has to stay in Mexico. They don't even allow Iranians to come to support their team, and the visas and whatnot they were supposed to get in the tickets were just completely revoked. And you think to yourself, where's the solidarity? Why don't other countries, or let's say other teams, say, we are not participating under these terms? And yet, that's not the way it functions.
Agreed. I've read a lot about the 1936 Olympic Games. I collect propaganda ephemera, and I have a lot of even Nazi issued pamphlets from the 1936 Olympic Games. One of the things that's notable is, the Germans really rolled out the red carpet in 1936 for the world because they knew they were a pariah state. And they were trying to make a good impression and say, look, we're not as bad as you guys think. We're making Germany great again. And the thing is, they didn't do the things that you're describing. No teams or fans were prohibited from traveling to Germany. They didn't say, oh, Jews from other countries can't come to Germany to attend the games. No team was banned. And also, they did a good job. That should count for something too. I mean, here you have all the behavior that you described that is morally reprehensible and disgusting and should not be countenanced by civilized people. On top of that, the overcharging, the lack of proper infrastructure, the inability to host properly in cities like New York City, the fact that that we're mistreat that we just we're overcharging like crazy. I mean, at Sochi, for example, right, when Russia hosted the Winter Games, transport was free to within the country for people who were attending the games. Russia like wanted to make it as seamless and easy as possible to shuttle people around. They didn't say, oh, if you're from this country that we don't get along with, you can't come. They didn't do that, right? The point is, we're big dicks, and it would be really easy to boycott this event, easier than 1936 in Berlin, in that 1936 in Berlin, the Nazis were at their be on their best behavior. We're not at the level of the best behavior of the Nazis. I mean, that's the truth.
Not only does it suck to be here, it sucks to get into the country in the first place. We are pariahs. And yet, there's no solidarity with this stuff. And I mean, solidarity in the sense of, hey, we don't like the fact that you're treating the Iranian team poorly. We don't like the fact that you're revoking the permits. We don't like that you're treating the African teams racist in just the most racist of terms in the way that you're treating them. We don't like that. And because we don't like that as a group, we're saying F off, we're not participating. Okay, that doesn't seem to be part of the calculus. That doesn't even seem to be part of the conversation. They should have boycotted this event. All of those teams should have boycotted this event. I mean, I would argue for moral reasons on that. But even from a standpoint of solidarity reasons, they should have boycotted this event.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, norm, you know, there's one really strong argument against boycotts, which is, if you decide not to go to a pariah country, let's say apartheid South Africa, then you don't have an ability to influence them. You don't have the ability to interact and bring West, better values to that country. But in this case, that argument goes out the window because the US isn't letting everyone in, right? So they're not letting, for example, Iran, I mean, I think Americans could learn something from hanging out at a cafe or a bar, cheering on with sitting next to Iranians and meeting them, right? That would not be a bad experience for a New Yorker to go back home and say, oh man, I had partied with some Iranians. They were awesome. That wouldn't be bad. That's, but we're not, Trump isn't allowing that. So therefore, in a way, he's already kind of imposed a partial boycott. So you know, out of solidarity, I agree with you. I'm not always on team boycott, but I think in this case, you know, it's like it would have made sense. I mean, people just do what they want to do, and it's like they justify it after the fact, and I think that's what we're seeing here.
I mean, to me, the boycott thing depends on the situation, right? Like, it's not an absolute. And I don't come to the conclusion, like, in this kind of just absolute sense. I come to it in this case because of behavior. Like, was the U.S. backing a genocide, yay or nay? The answer is yes. Definitively, the world looks at it in those terms. We were contributing billions to it. Did the U.S. go after Maduro? The answer is yes. Were these unprovoked wars of aggression? Yes. Was the killing of the fishermen in the Caribbean? Like, I could go down the list. And that's just on this term alone, just within the context of this presidency alone. And so when I'm looking at all of these grotesquely immoral, overtly illegal, even by our own laws in some respects, yeah, I come to the conclusion that not only should you have not come for moral reasons, look at how we're treating your teams, right? Like, meaning, how's FIFA looking the other way as the U.S. humiliates one team after the next for purely racist reasons? And FIFA's like, hear no evil, see no evil. Hey, can the Russians come? Well, no, because they started a war in Ukraine. Are you serious?
Like, FIFA just, you know why FIFA, you know, I mean, just, they just need the money. They just want the money, that's all. I mean, thing is, the U.S. should not have been chosen to host. I mean, for a variety of reasons. Really. I don't understand how they got it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just meant infrastructure being one of those reasons.
Also, yes.
The U.S. is ill-prepared for something like this.
Yeah, just starting with that, really, honestly. You know, it's like, I mean, when you travel to cities like Tokyo or Rome, where they have hosted Olympic Games in the past, and you visit those stadiums and what's left of the Olympic villages and all that, you can always see, like, they did, or Athens, right? Like, they did a better job back then. You could see, like, for example, the Olympic stadium in Athens, you know, it's not like in the sticks. It's not like, you know, like in New Jersey as opposed to New York. It's like, you know, it's in Athens. You can take the metro. It's like they had the infrastructure, which is amazing when you consider that it's an ancient city full of historical monuments. You know, the United States just, we're ridiculous. We don't have the infrastructure. I mean, I guess maybe if we'd done it in a smaller city, we could have had the infrastructure, but we don't. We just don't, because we don't do infrastructure.
What are they doing? How are they getting people? So what are they doing with the massive numbers of homeless people that are on the subway in New York? How are they getting from point A to point B? Like, meaning, how are they figuring out how to move this number of people from point A to point B in New York? New York is already insanely crowded.
Well, they're not doing anything in the four borough subway system. They're not doing anything about that. The big challenge is getting people from Midtown Manhattan out to the Meadowlands in New Jersey. What New Jersey Transit Regional Rail does that. Now, there's always events there. There's rock concerts and sporting events at that stadium. And normally what you do is it's a one stop out to Secaucus. It's $7-ish. Then there's a spur that takes you, you transfer to the spur, and a special train takes you to the stadium. So that's what they're going to do. But they're charging $150 for that little $7 ride now. And it's like, it's not like that $150, by the way, is going to, you know, it's not like it's a different service, or it's express, or you go with lace curtains on the windows. It's, you know, you get crumpets. It's the same fucking thing that New Yorkers have been getting for $7 and New Jerseyans. So, yeah, I mean, there's been talk about rolling back that fee. But basically, it seems like the New York area, including the transit authorities, view the attendees of FIFA as a cash cow. It's not about putting on a good show and making people feel welcome. It's about, you know, raping and pillaging their wallets while they're here. It sucks. I'm embarrassed as an American. honestly. It's just like hospitality is a hugely important, cultural thing that people do all over the world, much better than we do. And it's like, this is a chance to meet the world at a time when we are politically fraught and we're doing a shit job.
Well, we're a capitalist country. Mm-hmm. We do this to our own workers. Why wouldn't we do it externally? It's kind of like, have you ever seen a kid? I know all of these countries are capitalist, but it's the home, like of the home of Whopper, right? Have you ever seen a kid flip out in a mall or in a store? And it's like,
my father. Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the parent doesn't seem to give a shit. Right. And I used to say, the reason the parent doesn't give a shit is because that kid acts worse at home. And this is maybe a 3 from the parent's point of view, from everybody else that doesn't have kids and don't want kids because of kids like that.
By the way, I hate that shit.
Yeah. My point is, that is the way that we are dealing with teams is that it's kind of like, we have so accustomed to fucking over our own workers and everything else in regards to the amount that we pay them, how we do employment and stuff like that here, basically maximize profit at the expense of the poor. When World Cup people come here, from our point of view, they're a captive audience. You want to see the soccer game? Pay us $60. This is no different than you have cancer? Pay me. You have difficulties doing so-and-so? We don't care. It's that. It's honest, which, however you want to see it, I agree with you. It's embarrassing, but it's honest. It's honest. Well, they should have never had World Cup in the U.S. Part of me feels like it serves them right.
Let's do some comments.
Part of me feels embarrassed. I don't know which one.
Totally agree. All right. We've got Quinn Parsley. Thank you very much for the dollar donation. Hey guys, would it be possible to have your PayPal link and Robbie's email in the video descriptions? Oh, yeah, we could do that. You've all mentioned both 100 times, but I'm dumb and have forgotten them 100 times. All right, well, that's a good request. I'll try to remember to do that. Trent, if you're watching, let's try to remember to do that. Deprogrampodcast@gmail.com is the PayPal. WestglacierGaming@gmail is Robbie's email address. Jabari Media, is Jamarl good, bro? No show this morning.
Yeah, I'm okay. I just ran into difficulties this morning. I will be pushing the guests till tomorrow. Okay. And have a full show for tomorrow. In fact, full day of shows for tomorrow.
Eric F. Huso, thank you very much for the $5. We don't need a third party movement. We need a no parties movement. Stand on your own record and policies. Like, go back to 1796 style, in other words.
That's right. Because it feels like to get anything done, you kind of need a coalition. But again, coalitions end up. Give me a take on that.
I don't think the thing is, I hate parties, but I don't know how you do this in a huge country. I mean, are there any countries that have, like, that are party-less politicians?
Not that I'm aware of. Right. I mean, like any country you think of, even a communist party is a party, right?
Yeah, you need an organization. You need a standing organization. The problem is it's hard to stand up, to build a campaign from scratch the way that, say, Ross Perot did, in a matter, just add water. It's not like, it just doesn't seem like it's very practical. I'm not against it. I don't really, I don't have any stock in any parties, but like, I just don't see how it works, I guess.
Unless the focus is on an objective.
Yeah. Even Singapore has political parties, which is insane to me.
Yeah. That's what I mean, right? I don't know how you get a way around it. It's just kind of like, hey, we want to get X and Y accomplished. Okay. It's like a military. Political parties are militaries. If the country devolved into a civil war, the Democratic Party, weirdly enough, would be a military faction, or they would at the very least raise a military in representation of the party. Meaning parties are just devolved military campaigns, just in political sense, without people shooting each other. I guess my point is the military is a beating heart of a nation, meaning any way you look at it, you're stuck with some kind of coalition. I don't know.
Totally. Maybe Blue Funk. Guys, the themes are all there. Number one, ICE. Two, detention camps and reopening Guantanamo. Three, Supreme Court bringing up birthright citizenship for no reason whatsoever. Well, we probably should should talk. Well, before we get into that, let's talk about a few more comments that are related to the World Cup thing. Luna Lager, we're worse than Nazis. Well, we're worse than Nazis on their best behavior. Just a minor
Nazis on their best behavior.
RACL 1979. Just as a minor detail, the last World Cup in Qatar, they had promised they would allow alcohol sales during the games. It's been progressively getting worse since 2002. Eric F. Huso, thanks for the $2. Will World Cup have U.S. propaganda jet flyovers? Hilarious.
Wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked. Jeff Filming, really, France did a horrible job with the Olympics. I didn't follow that. I don't know. F. Huso, thanks for the $2. Trump jinxed the Knicks. He's a big, fat loser. I thought the Knicks were going to lose anyway, but they went into it. I think psychologically, when you go into it, like, look at us, we've been losing all these years and now we're in the playoffs. That's the wrong vibe. You know, it's like, it's more like, let me at him, let me kill him. We're going to win. You know?
Yeah. I didn't see that. I got to be honest. I didn't even know the playoffs was taking place.
Well, New York City.
I didn't see that truck in Greece. That's how I found out.
The Knicks have been out for so long. okay, so let's talk about the denaturalization, which I find extremely disturbing. The Trump administration has announced that it plans to strip citizenship from U.S. citizens, fully naturalized U.S. citizens. As you can imagine, these are not people from like Denmark, Sweden, Nordic countries. These are people who've been convicted of various crimes. And just to be clear, the administration has the legal right to do this, right? I mean, when you become a naturalized citizen, if you commit a felony or are convicted of a felony, they can strip you of your nationality. That's something that my mom was always paranoid about because she came from France over here and she was always like, I have to, keep my nose clean. Otherwise, I'm going to be, they could take away my citizenship. But in reality, they never do it, right? And especially for minor crimes. And look, healthcare fraud, wire fraud, stuff like that. Those are the offenses here. The last time I looked this up, and in the West, the last time we had mass denaturalization was Nazi Germany and Nazi occupied nations like Vichy France during World War II, where, for example, Marshal Pétain, the puppet collaborationist dictator of occupied France during the war, stripped a lot of Jewish Frenchmen of their nationalities in order to legalize their deportation to death camps in Germany and in Poland. Denaturalization is really radical. And it's not even the main story on today's New York Times. It's sort of like, and by the way, and you have to contextualize this with, as maybe both Funk pointed out, this, this move to go to the U.S. Supreme Court to try to get them to reverse the old ruling, the old 19th century ruling about birthright citizenship, which is a hugely important part of our cultural and political makeup. This is a big fucking deal, and it's scary as shit.
When I tell people that the U.S. is behaving very Hitlerian, they look at me like, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying that. And my thing to them is like, I can't believe you don't see it. Here's the thing. We are okay with our monsters because from us, they don't seem like monsters. And when we're looking at other countries, especially when we're looking at it in historical context, we make it cartoonish as if these weren't real people functioning in what they consider to be legal means in the way that their country operates. Just like the Germans, we're looking at Hitler and hey, he gives fantastic speeches, right? even though he's a lunatic. And yet, they were okay with their monsters. Now, you could say at a certain point they couldn't do anything about their monster, fair enough. But let's be clear, they were okay with their monsters. And in their context, it looked, quote unquote, normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying we normalize behavior that is outlandish. Whether it's, again, I keep bringing up this idea of us using unmitigated wars of aggression, and yet we are okay with it. We don't see an issue with what Trump is doing. And we talk about it in these very legalistic terms. Well, I mean, Iran, maybe. We don't want them to get their hands on a missile. We don't want them to get their hands on a nuke. Are you out of your mind? We're just attacked the country for no reason. And we're using the same argument of weapons of mass destruction that when people look back on it, we say, Bush lied. And we look at it and condemn it as, yeah, it was improper for Bush to do that. Bush got a million people killed. Donald Trump is attacking a country right now. And the only reason that the U.S. or that that country hasn't become a basket case was because, thank God, they had the ability to shoot and kill in order to defend their sovereignty. This is just another, I don't know, a chip off the wall or another item on that list. This country is functionally insane. And the public itself continues to talk about it in these muted tones. It shouldn't be talked about in muted tones. It's a big deal. I agree with you. It's another item on the list of outlandish items that the government is effectively doing. This should be considered with the level of gravity that it deserves, just like the other items should be considered with the level of gravity it deserves. And if you had any one item, fair enough, right? But this is not just one item. This is a list of things that gives, let's say, a picture of the United States as a rogue nation internally and externally. And we should talk about it as such. I agree with you. It's a big deal. It's not a minor item.
Yeah. One correction here, Daniel BTS. Thank you for this. Ted, you're wrong. You can only be stripped of citizenship if you lied on your application or significantly misrepresented your intentions during the naturalization process. So to be clear, these are people who committed felonies and maybe didn't reveal that before they, and you know, like in their, in a foreign country, or maybe here, you know, before they became citizens. Still, it's rarely been done. It's you know, it's one of those things, like, theoretically you can do it. There's a lot of shit on the books that you can theoretically do, right? There's still blue laws on the books about eating ice cream on Sundays on the sidewalk, and you know,
we don't like men having sex in their own bedrooms with each other. All that shit was like under the law also. Like, there's, I guess my point is, you're right, there's a lot of random shit on the laws. If the people, okay, let me quantify this or contextualize it. If indeed they lied on their application to get into the country, then the U.S. government obviously has a right to go after them for it. Your point is, they never do. Like, it's very rarely done.
It's like a cop has the right to pull you over for going 56 in a 55, but they never do, right? So if they start doing that, that represents something new and different and radical.
Yes.
That's the point here. By the way, I've always thought parenthetically that there should be the Congress and municipalities and the states should have commissions that look at existing laws with a view towards deleting them from the law books.
Yes, you know? They don't want to do that.
Obsolete laws.
Well,
like the Comstock Act, which is being used to go after people who mail abortion pills to, you know, to red states. That act, which was meant basically to prevent like the dissemination of pornography, you know, through the mails. Obviously, it's obsolete. You know, I mean, Penthouse was mailed to people, to hundreds of thousands, millions of men, right? So it's like, it should just be gone.
Agreed. But the reason they keep laws on the book is so they can use those laws. Meaning it's in a government's interest to be able to criminalize the citizens for pretty much anything.
Yeah, it's like the Korematsu decision is a great example, right? Fred Korematsu was a Japanese-American sent to an internment camp during World War II by FDR. He's revered in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's an elementary school named after him. And everyone hears about the lawsuit. He sued basically FDR. He lost. People forget that. He lost. And everyone says that's one of the most shameful decisions. It's like Dred Scott. Okay, but the Bush administration used Korematsu to justify Guantanamo. So it's like, you know, the point is, you're right. They leave these gross old statutes on the books to, you know, in case of emergency, we can break fascist glass, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. I can find crimes on anybody for anything. Just give me a reason. It's that, by the way, one of the other shameful items in the denaturalization is that they're using, well, these people were child predators, as the president defends and protects pedophiles.
Sorry.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah. It's so absurd. You can't make these things up. It's like, are you kidding me? You of all people? I mean, yeah. Donald Trump? What?
Who I firmly believe was fucking kids. I am of the belief that part of the thing that Donald Trump is protecting is himself. I know you don't believe that. That's okay.
It's not impossible, right? Because, I mean, has he been to Epstein Island? Yeah, probably, right? Did he know Epstein? They were friends. Does Trump like to place his penis in places that are unauthorized? Yes. I've read that diary, that birthday book entry, you know, with great interest. Again, is it possible? Sure, it's entirely possible. Totally. The dude's a lech.
No, I don't know it's a fact.
No.
Yes.
We do not know it as a fact. Thank you very much, K. Greg, for the $5 donation. Nothing to rant about for now, but nevertheless, feel free to come back and rant anytime. Teg D. Nemrod, we should amend or clarify birthright citizenship, but it can't be retroactive. Thanks for the dollar there. John D. Cockefeller, thanks for the dollar. Require military citizenship for service for citizenship. Service guarantees citizenship. Would you like to know more? That's, of course,
you know what he's talking about, right?
Starship Troopers, one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
I'm going to cite my mom, who died in 2020. You know, when Guantanamo started and Extraordinary Rendition, I said, oh my God, there's going to be protests. My mom said, you're high. Like, ain't nothing going to happen. They're brown people. No one gives a shit. And they're foreigners. And like in this case, it's like no one gives a shit. And no one's going to. And the thing is, there's not going to be protests. I mean, no one gives a shit about anything, right? I mean, there are literally no protests about anything. You know, women, you talk to them, you'll be like, oh, don't you care that there's no Equal Rights Amendment? Like, you know, every other country has. It's really upsetting. Really? So I never see a letter to the editor about it, right? Like, there's no posts on Instagram about it. There's no protests ever about it. Like, you guys don't really care, right? Like, you just don't. Or it's like, the Dobbs decision. I mean, oh, are you upset about it? Yeah, well, personally, in my heart of hearts, sure. Are you organizing about it? No. And the truth is, like, the rich, powerful East Coast, West Coast women, they have legalized abortion. They're cool. They live in blue states. It's like they don't care about like a 16-year-old Latina from the Texas Panhandle. They don't care. They theoretically care, but they don't actually care. That's the problem.
Yeah, if the Taliban version of America in the South is accepting of it, which is the rub, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, part of it is how much energy does it require to do stuff. The other part of it is, okay, most people are spending their time working and occupied. But I think politics, and I learned this after the fact, it's kind of like a marriage where there are responsibilities. It's not just automatic, right? Like initially when I got into the marriage, I thought, okay, this is just automatic. You and this person got along. It's not that way in real life. It takes work. Like, and it takes work in a way where you have to kind of like orient yourself around somebody else where it's almost like you have to moderate. You have to pay attention to, you have to work on, you have to do stuff. It's an energetic process. It's not an automated process. And the moment that we allow it to get automatic, it becomes this.
I've got to ask JT. Am I a member of the Southern Taliban? I've got to know.
You're in the Northwest.
Because, I mean, that is one of the insults that people like to hurl at me. And so I would just like to unpack that. I'm conservative.
I never said you were part of the Taliban.
No, I understand. But, I mean, from an ideological perspective, life begins at conception. Abortion should be illegal. Marriage is between one man and one woman. I'm one of those annoying Bible thumpers. I pray to my best friend up in heaven. So am I a card-carrying member of the American Southern Taliban? Yes or no?
Oh, Rob, you put me on the spot.
I am, 100%.
I was thinking of amorphous South.
No, it's yes or no question.
Well, it could be a meme.
Here's the thing with you, Robbie. If you were running for office, believe it or not, I would vote for you.
I appreciate that.
The reason I would vote for you is because for all intents and purposes, I do think you are an American firster, and I think you mean it in the most honest sense of the word. There will be things that I radically disagree with you on, abortion being one of them. But if it's an even slightly immigration, and I say slightly because I think you go too far with it, but I understand where you're coming from with it. If, would I vote for an American Taliban? No. Would I vote for you? Yes. So I don't know. I have a hard time answering the question as a yes or no. There are elements of it where I would say yes, but the rub is there's a lot of stuff that you would disagree with that takes place in the South. Like, meaning, sure. I don't think you would agree with these Republicans on the issue of fucking over workers. I don't think you would agree with Republicans on this idea of taking away Medicare, Medicaid, these type of things. That's what I'm saying. It's hard for me to answer that question. I feel like I want to say no. By the same token, I think what you're pushing me on is this notion of abortion and those type of things, which is a single thing.
Because the Taliban is a religious organization, right? I mean, that's what it's founded on. It's founded on conservative Islam. And so if you strip away the theology, the basic tenets are more or less the same. They think you marry three women. I think you shall only marry one. Both oppose homosexuality, at least on paper. Both advocate for traditional values, you know, quote marks. That's where I'm kind of coming at that. And as far as immigration, this is a great example of Trump doing the right thing the wrong way. No one has a right to get to be here as a guest. If you come here and we open the door to you and say, you're welcome to stay in my house, but you start pissing in my sink, I have every right to ask you to leave. And if you break into my house, I have every right to use force to remove you before you get a chance to piss in my sink. And so what Trump is doing with deportations, he's doing it one too slow, too inefficient, and he's doing it the wrong way. The Robbie model, I would round these people up. I would have 3 days to send them back to the country from which they were spawned. If those countries don't take them, I would cut off all their remittances, all their foreign aid. I would just impose an absolute economic hell on them till they take their people back. I wouldn't put them in death camps. There's no reason to. There are other tools that we have, you know, to get things done. And that's the problem I have with Trump. He's doing the right thing in the wrong way. And so I'm just really curious about, you know, because you start talking, talking about the Taliban. It's like, where do I fit in on this spectrum as a card-carrying member of the white right-wing ecosystem, for lack of a better term, who despises Trump?
Do you agree?
Because Trump is a maniac.
Do you agree with the Republican Party in the South?
No, the Republican Party, they're the biggest traitors in this country. Listen, exactly. The thing about the Democrats, I understand that the majority of them are going to look at me and see me as an anathema. That's fine.
Yeah, but I don't.
But they don't pretend to be my friend while shanking me in the back. That's what the Republicans do. Every 2 or 4 years, they come to conservatives, for lack of a better term, and say, yes, it's true, we're screwing you over, but we're saving you from the guys who are wearing dresses. When the reality is, they're not saving me from the guys who are wearing dresses because Lindsey Graham is still the senator from South Carolina who's still advocating for war who's still doing all this stuff, who is empowering an imperial president, all while saying we're going to defend the Constitution while they're actively pissing on it every chance that they get.
I guess
that's my biggest beef with the Republicans. They are. Listen, I would rather someone come to my face and be honest and say, Robbie, you're a disgusting white nationalist traitor, and I wish nothing but the absolute worst for you. I can respect them for their honesty. That's better than a hypocrite or a traitor who's going to stab me in the kidney and say, oh, well, you should have saw that coming.
Robbie, I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
When you ask me that question, I have a difficult time saying yes to that question. If I ask you, do you agree with the Republican Party? You would give me that answer. And I guess my point of view is it's that political entity that allows the South to be what the South is. And if it was under President Robbie, I don't think it would look that way.
No, not at all.
So I guess my point is, even if I disagree with you on a few items, that's not the same thing as I don't need purity. Yeah. I don't need purity.
Yeah,
I just need effectiveness on priorities. And if I can get further along with a particular person in regards to priorities, I have no issue with agreeing with you on some stuff and trying to put a knife in you in the other. I'm okay with that. I don't think that makes you the Taliban, but that's my point.
I appreciate that because I'm against stoning people in the streets. So
right.
I'm trying to do that.
That's wrong.
Soccer stadium, as everyone knows.
Shagging goats. Oh, and Justice Q... 2X on YouTube says Robbie's an immigrant, non-indigenous. I assure you, I am not an immigrant. My family's been here for 7 generations. They came over in the early 1600s. My ancestors were Indian fighters, helped conquer this continent. We did not settle it. We conquered it. I am not an immigrant. I am a Native American, first generation baby, founding. I am not an immigrant.
We're colonialists, right?
100%. They came over. They lived in Virginia. They moved to what's now West Virginia.
I think
my family married into the Grays. I mean, they came over here and they built a nation out of the wilderness. And if you don't like that, well, that's a you problem.
Did they get a visa from the indigenous people who lived?
Exactly. There? That's his point.
Yeah, of course not. They were tribal societies. Didn't have the wheel, so no, they didn't have a written language. There was no concept of what a nation state even was. And so they did what human beings all through history have done. They go someplace, they migrate, they take the land, and that's the whole thing. But when it comes to immigration, this is where people call me a Nazi. Fine, go for it. If another nation can come in and take another country's land, like it's like with Israel. Israel's like, oh, we have a right to exist. No, you don't. No nation does. If you cannot defend what belongs to you, you will lose it. That is the story of human history from Adam and Eve.
That's
no
true.
Nation has a right to exist. No one has a perpetual claim based on ancestry to the geographic area which you live because people have migrated to every inch of this planet. And so if that's what you're going to go after with me, then brother, you better stick out of that glass house because your ancestors did the exact same thing.
Robbie, the argument, and I think I'm sympathetic to it, is that. You know, I mean, what's really the difference between you and someone who, you know, whose parents snuck them in a suitcase across the Rio Grande in 2021? I mean, it's just a calendar difference, right? There's no like moral or ethical right difference. I mean, it's basically all the, or me, like, you know, my mom came here in 1961. I mean, big whoop. I mean, it's just a calendar difference. You guys broke the law earlier. That's all.
There was no law.
It's not. Wait a minute. Just to be clear. Robbie's argument is not moral, right or wrong. It's the issue of power.
Right.
We had the power to come here and conquer and murder the population that was already here and take the land. And then we instituted laws and everything else that we can now.
So now people are finagling and paying a coyote to come in. What's the diff?
Well, the difference is that, you know, back in the 1600s, remind me, Ted, what authority, what nation state, what laws were being violated?
Well, there was no nation state here. However, I think it was customary to approach the shore. I'm sure we all know that Native Americans greeted the people who first arrived mm-hmm. here and say, hey, guys, would it be cool if we stayed here? You know,
It happened when the Vikings came to Newfoundland. They got their butts kicked to them.
That's true.
And also, one thing I do want to point out.
Also, right?
One of the things I would like to point out is that Mother Nature did a lot of the work for the Europeans because diseases are a thing. And so let's be honest here. If you want to really know who the reigning champion of genocide globally throughout all history is.
Smallpox.
It's Mother Earth.
Yeah, no, that's all.
Let's be honest. This argument is just based on power.
Yeah, of course
it is. We had power to do it, so we did it.
That's the point that I'm making. And now if you have a nation, which supposedly we have, I think it's a corporation. I don't think it's a nation. It's a corporation that's run by a board of directors with a very short, with a very small shareholder pool. You have the right to determine who lives with you and who does not. You have the right to invite people in or ask them to leave. If someone violates either one of those two tenets.
Power dynamic. You claim the right to do that, right?
Correct.
You created
by virtue of having a nation with a military that uses violence to enforce the laws agreed upon by the body politic. Correct. That's the whole point of a law. No, policemen are not there to get your cat out of a tree. They're there to put a bullet in you if you're disturbing the peace. It is all about order. You cannot have an orderly society, Ted, if you have open borders and if laws apply to some people and then not the vast majority of others. That's the biggest problem that we have. And so I have zero problem whatsoever with equal enforcement of the law. Justice, though, must be blind and done in the right way. You would very much love living in a Robbie Rand society because wages would go up. Jobs would be restored to this country. There would not be homeless people stabbing people in the metro in New York City. I would fix these problems, and I would use the power of the state to do it. And that's something that a lot of people don't want to hear, but that's exactly what would happen because that's the whole point of the state.
I agree with all that. And by the way,
what's the problem?
By the way, I think that people who come here, we shouldn't let people come here illegally, full stop. But that said, if a previous regime allowed people to come en masse illegally, and we said, come on over. I mean, Biden did. He gave them an app. He gave them an appointment. He said, make your appointment on your app. Come on over. And the people show up on time and the guy's like, here you go. Come on in. Well, they're not really they are following the rules. They might not be rules that you or I know I don't agree with those
rules. And laws are different, Ted. Rules and laws are different. Remind me, Ted, in our system of government, who makes the law? The executive or the legislature?
A little bit of both.
Right.
The legislature, part of the Constitution, writes the law, right? Not a president. Right.
Yes. But you have
okay. executive. So we have immigration laws that are on the book. Mm-hmm. It is incumbent. It is the job of the executive to enforce those laws. Yeah, Biden chose not to. He should have been impeached for that.
But for going 56 and a 55. There's prosecutorial discretion, right? There's a whole mess of laws that if you drop one book on your foot, you're going to break your toe. So they have to pick and choose what they enforce and what they don't enforce and to what extent, right? So there's a lot of prioritization.
Our country is in a significant and obvious decline, which y'all were just now talking about in the World Cup. I would not have had the World Cup here because it is an embarrassment. Our country is a basket case. Our country is literally falling apart. And so to celebrate our decline, we're going to invite the entire world here to go to some crap-stained, urine-smelling city that we can't even get people to travel around in to show the whole world how much we suck. Think about that for a second.
That's not untrue.
I know it's not untrue. So to get to your point, if your nation is in decline, the last thing that you need is to import more unskilled and illiterate people to come and do jobs that Americans won't do when Americans are already underemployed and wages are stagnant and everything is falling apart. It is not a people problem. This is a system problem.
We got some comments and we got stories. Ray is asking if I have any vinyl of the punk band Fear. Yes, I do. I have Fear the album on vinyl and I could pull it up here if I had time.
Is it good?
3 feet away from me. It's not my favorite. They're not my favorite punk band by any means. That would probably be the Ramones or the Dead Kennedys. But they were definitely, you know, worth having. And I've carted that album around for, you know, decades. So obviously it's good. Let's see. Okay. Peter Ive, thanks for the $2. Robbie hasn't advocated executing heretics in the local stadium, so he's not in the Taliban. Yes. Crown Heights Brainiac, thanks for the $10. Robbie woke up choosing violence this morning, every morning. RTYR Warriors, thanks for the $2. He is a barbarian without a soul. And I can't believe you're saying that about me. And Black Spock, thanks for the $2. Much appreciated. Who pissed in Robbie's sink?
Nobody. I would have deported
them. I was wondering the same thing, by the way. I was like, who peed in Robbie's sink?
Nobody. I would have deported them.
Yeah. I had a roommate piss in the bathtub, and I banned him from the bathtub in perpetuity.
How did you know he peed in the bathtub?
Well, because it was just me and him who shared the bathtub in the dorm. And I came home, and he was pissed at his girlfriend. And he had punched and broken the bathroom mirror, and there was pee, dried up piss in the bathtub. So I'm like, you know, it was a Jack and Jill, you know, shared bathroom where basically the kind, old fashioned kind where you go in and you lock the other one when you're using it, and then you unlock it when you're done.
Yeah.
So it was one of those. And I was like, he was like, oh, dude, it's locked. I'm like, yeah, you're going to be using the communal bathroom from now on. Your bathroom privileges are revoked. You're just gone.
No, good on you. Yeah, and you're right. I have no idea what my ethnicity is because it's stupid. Racism is the dumbest thing that humans have ever invented.
Yeah,
it's completely retarded.
It's very, very, very gay. Very stupid. Okay, so guys, Trump. I think we can dispose of this in about a minute. Trump says the war is about to end. Strait of Hormuz is going to reopen right away. It's going to happen within 2 or 3 days. That was yesterday. So we're looking at Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. Wednesday or Thursday. That's not happening, right?
I don't think that's happening. I am very skeptical of the idea that Trump can accept. I mean, look, I guess I'm stuck in this two-thought mindset. You can't move forward. And how do you accept what, for all intents and purposes, will be a surrender document? I don't believe that he's going to get better terms than the JCPOA. And at this point, I don't even think he's going to get better terms even under the best version of the JCPOA, if that makes sense. Meaning Trump is going to, if he accepts anything, it will be a worst case. How can I say this? Not worst case scenario. Okay, two things. There is reporting that there was conversations between Trump and Netanyahu where Trump basically told Netanyahu, I need you to calm down. Now, the problem that Trump is going to run into, that's assuming that Trump is trying to get a deal. And let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he's actually trying to get some kind of deal. The flying woman is going to be in Israel. That's going to be an interesting component to this. Trump may tell Netanyahu to calm down all the way through. And there's reporting that they told Netanyahu, hey, you may find yourself without the help of the U.S. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. The one catch with this, a caveat, is that I don't think Trump likes this idea of seeming like a junior partner, which he does, because everybody is talking about it as if Netanyahu is forcing Trump's behavior, which, again, I don't believe. I think this stuff is purely in the context of the U.S. interests. But let's say I'm wrong. Is the U.S. going to be able to, one, accept the terms that Iran is putting out? Two, is Israel going to be a participant to these terms? Because any terms that Iran comes up with means that Israel has to stop, which is not in Netanyahu's best interest, which then is a question of, will Netanyahu stop? Will Israel go rogue? All of these things are questions that I don't really have answers to. And my instinct is telling me, no, Trump is lying again in order to control oil markets. We'll see. I'm radically skeptical.
Yeah. I mean, look, under the doctrine of all things are possible, it's possible. Likely? No. But possible, sure. Okay, so RTR Warriors, thanks for the $2. Wall Street Profiteers and Federal Reserve make the laws. RTR Warriors again. The guest is the Barbarian, not you. I don't know who the guest is. There's no guests here. PW Walker, JCPOA was always designed to fail. It was clearly laid out in 2009 in the source document, Witch Path to Persia. Brian Berletic over at the New Atlas described it repeatedly. We've got 3 minutes left. I also want to talk about this study from the Uppsala Conflict Data Program at Uppsala University. I believe that's in Sweden. They say that the number of direct conflicts between nations has doubled between 2004 and 2025 to 8. That's the highest number of such conflicts since they started collecting data. There's also the highest number of deaths and casualties. We currently have the Russo-Ukrainian conflict, Iran, U.S. and Israel, India versus Pakistan, Thailand and Cambodia, Israel against Syria, Israel against Yemen, border conflict between Afghanistan and Pakistan, the Red Sea conflict and between the U.S. and the U.K. and the Houthis. The list goes on. I mean, quickly, what is the sort of psychological impact, I think, on American voters, in a sense, but, the sense of global instability, everyone's blowing things up, everything's, everyone's killing each other. This was a president who, if nothing else, promised us exactly the opposite. And he's denying that he ever promised that.
Americans don't care unless it's happening to them. I mean, it's one thing if you had a subway blow up in New York, if you had somebody blow something up in this kind of large-scale terrorist activity over the course of the country, we'd care then, because at that point, the war would be brought home. We don't care. I don't think we care. I don't think this instability hits us. Nobody is bombing our cities. And so it's something that's happening out there in the ether of the world, et cetera, even though we are causing a lot of it. I think when we look back on this time, people are going to realize all of this stuff is one war. And many of these things are being pushed and provoked by a rogue state.
Yeah, I like that. That's really well said. A lot of these things are one war, and we know what war it is, too. It's like what Robert Fisk called the Great War Between Civilizations, right? Anyway, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow for the next episode of Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much for your support. Much appreciated. Thanks, Sir Bikes, a lot for your last comment. We can get into that. We'll get into your comment tomorrow. Robbie, please save that for tomorrow. TMI show with myself and Manila Chan coming right up. Bye all, and take care. Thanks, JT. See you soon.
Have a good one all.